if we have a smart grid, what are the benefits for our carbon footprint in the nation? And the real question is, does smart grid make a real difference in our carbon profile or not? And the answer is yes, it can make a very substantial contribution to improving or reducing our carbon emissions.
We've heard the term a lot, but probably good to review what the smart grid itself is.
The smart grid is a collection of technologies that are essentially control and communications technologies that will pervade the power grid from substations all the way down into our homes and businesses, and integrate the operation of our electric power grid in a way that saves consumers money and reduces the investment that utilities need to make to keep the lights on, fundamentally. So that communication and control technology of the smart grid is a platform with which we can try to bring about some carbon efficiency benefits as well. And that's really what this report looked at, was what are those synergies between the smart grid control technologies and saving energy and integrating renewables.
Now, the grid as it stands now in the United States has been described as the largest machine ever built. What percentage of the electrical grid at this point is smart?
Oh, it's fairly small, and it depends how you define that. There are many components of the smart grid, so advanced metering infrastructure is now penetrating to the tune of 10% or so of the population. Other aspects such as advanced control strategies for our distribution networks are still relatively new and haven't been deployed yet. So this is really an ongoing deployment over the next 20 years.
And again, by way of background, the Pacific Northwest National Laboratory is working under contract with the Energy Department. So what is their goal in having the work done that you're doing?
In the broad sense, the Office of Electricity and Delivery and Energy Reliability is the official name. The Office of Electricity is charged with keeping our electric supply reliable and sufficient and modernizing it to support our economy and also to support national security. Smart grid is a key element of that modernization. Our grid is highly intelligent and sophisticated at the transmission and generation level. That same sophistication has not penetrated below the substation down to consumers. And that's just a huge opportunity. It's the internet revolution or the information revolution that's changed so much of our everyday lives at business and education and at home, really coming to the power grid and reaching all the way down to the roots of the power grid. That's a very important opportunity that the Office of Electricity has been instrumental in bringing that to the attention of industry and rallying the technology and regulatory processes to bring that about.
We're speaking with Rob Pratt. He's a staff scientist and manager of the Smart Grid R&D program at the Pacific Northwest National Laboratory. What are some of the mechanisms or some of the ways that a smart grid then can actually reduce carbon? What did you find?
Two very fundamental ways, maybe three fundamental ways that you can do it. One is by having in some intelligence and computer and sensing power in homes and businesses. Those provide platforms for us to do energy efficiency type functions that can occur in those buildings and at the consumer level. And those things range from feedback to consumers on where their energy is going and how green they are for people that are interested in that kind of information and advice for people as to how to save money and how to reduce their energy profiles and reduce their energy bills at the same time. There are opportunities to do diagnostics of air conditioners and heat pumps and other energy-consuming systems in buildings. When they malfunction, they often waste a lot of energy and go undetected for years. We have the opportunity with some control and sensing to detect those things and alert the consumer that some maintenance is needed and would be a good investment. So there are things like that that leverage the platform in homes. And then there are other aspects like supporting more wind and more solar generation in the power grid in the future, and especially that renewable generation fluctuates, goes up and down all the time, and that's going to cost us a significant amount of infrastructure to manage. Well, we can use the load to sort of compensate for those fluctuations, very short-term fluctuations, and by simply coordinating the loads in buildings and other industrial facilities, we can really support solar and wind at lower cost.
Now, making a smart grid has become a major priority for the Obama administration. There's lots of programs at Energy besides your own that are working toward this. How will your report get fed into the overall effort in the United States to get the smart grid built out?
Well, it's an important contribution. The smart grid was not built or designed or conceived simply to help reduce our carbon footprint. But what's been very important is to link the financial benefits of a smart grid in keeping the lights on and keeping them on at lower cost to extending that to helping support the drive for a smaller carbon footprint in the U.S. And so our program and a number of others around the country are all driving toward that. This report was instrumental in linking the smart grid sort of financial benefits agenda to the environmental benefits agenda. It has a real opportunity to create some interdisciplinary work across various divisions within the Department of Energy as well. And those are important opportunities for collaboration.
So looking at it as a scientist and as someone that's done this report, what do you estimate it'll take in terms of time till we can start to see benefits from the smart grid?
Starting to see benefits now already with the deployment of smart grid. Some of the stimulus funds went into grants that co-funded early installations of smart grid infrastructure, and we're starting to see the benefits now in terms of jobs, and we'll shortly see the benefits in improvements in the operation of our grid. But this will be a long process. There's no question that we could probably finish deploying a smart grid in 10 years if we put our mind to it. I think, in fact, it will be a little bit slower, 20-year type process. We're already starting to see benefits in integrating renewables, for example. In the Pacific Northwest, we have a large demonstration project that's come out of the stimulus funding that will look at how we can use smart grid assets to help manage fluctuations in the wind power that we have tremendous amount of up here in the Pacific Northwest. It's growing almost on a daily basis, and it's already starting to give us trouble. We're going to be leveraging our new smart grid assets to help manage those fluctuations.
And so getting back to the homes, does that mean someday we'll get an email from maybe the utility and that'll say, hey, buddy, that air conditioner of yours, you really got to replace it or go out and fix it?
Yeah, and that same email will probably say, hey, and here's a rebate that you can apply for if you get a nice, efficient air conditioner. Now's the time. So, yeah, exactly. One last thing. I think in the long run, the other area that we really need a smart grid for will be if and when we get a large number of electric vehicles coming in this country. And those are important for environmental benefits, but especially important to get us off of foreign oil. Assuming those electric vehicles really take off in terms of sales, we need to make sure that our grid can handle the electricity flows that are needed to charge those vehicles. And that's another key aspect of a smart grid that's a little more in the future, but equally important, because we certainly don't want to be building lots of power plants and transmission lines to support those vehicles. If we can just charge them at night, keep everybody's charging at a nice even level, then we'll be in good shape.